He is risen. Jesus has triumphed. The tomb is empty. It's Easter. As a first Easter thing, I want to include the kids. Kids, if you can hear me, I don't care if you're, you know, 1 year old or if you're 10 years old, I want you to do this. I want you to find a key. A key, all right? Maybe you have a key in your room, or if you don't have a key, maybe you can borrow your parents' keys. And parents, I'm wondering if you would turn on your video if you have a kid who has a key. Go ahead and find a key, kids. I want you to show us your key. And parents, go ahead and turn on your video if you have a kid around there. All right, who has a key? Oh, I think the Clarenbeaks do. Raylan, do you have one too? Oh, Raylan, oh, look at that key. You got some good keys and they make a fun sound.
What am I?
Good job. How about Clarenbeak kids? What do you have? Can you come up to the camera and show it to us? Oh, yeah, nice.
Okay, hold yours up.
Good key. That one's got a special fob with it, too. Awesome, thanks. Oh, and I see my beautiful daughter, Eden. Hi there. You have a key for us?
Uh-huh.
Aha.
I can unmute us. I think we're unmuted.
Yep, you're unmuted. Great. Okay. Wonderful. Now, okay, now kids who are there, what does a key do?
It opens stuff.
Huh? Yeah, what do you put a key into?
A car.
Yeah. You can't really start that car without a key, right?
Yeah.
And it unlocks something, right? You can unlock the car. You can unlock a door. The keys are pretty small, but they're really powerful, aren't they? Great. Well, thanks, kids. I want to show you something here. And Steve, you can go ahead and mute everybody now and take their video off. But kids, keep on watching here because I got something special to show you. I found me the biggest key I could find. Look at that thing. It's so big we had to put it on a board. It's enormous. What kind of lock do you think this goes to?
Me?
Enormous. I kind of feel like quoting Crocodile Dundee. That's not a key. This is a key. A big old lock, isn't it? Well, I want you to know something, kids. The most hugest lock ever was the lock of death. Death was the thing that nobody could break open. Nobody had the key to it until Jesus came. And Jesus was the one who broke out of death. He's the one who holds the key. And he's the one who can get out. That makes Jesus the most powerful person ever, right? All right. Thanks for sharing your keys with me. And I hope you guys have lots of candy and chocolate today. I know that's all I'm eating today. Jesus rose again, and he now has the key to death. That's what Revelation tells us there. Jesus has the keys of the grave, of death and Hades, death and the underworld. He has the keys of the grave. In Grandview, I want to remind you of some good news today. To really begin to unpack this good news, what does it mean for Jesus to have the keys? When he came back from the dead, when he rose from the dead on Easter, he came with the keys to the grave. But what does that mean exactly? Well, I want to have 3 points to share with you. Why 3 points? Because I'm a Christian preacher. Point number one is this. Jesus has the keys to unlock the grave for himself. The resurrection of Jesus shows us that he has power over death. Jesus has the keys of the grave. And he used those keys, first and foremost, to get himself out. He got himself out of the grave on Easter. And you remember there, you see it in verse 2 in Luke 24, that the tomb was empty. Jesus got out. And this is pretty amazing because death is the strongest thing we know on earth. It is. We have all these sayings that say just that. There's nothing certain in life but death and taxes. But if you knew my Uncle Johnny, you'd know that even taxes can be evaded. But death? No. Nobody ever gets out of death. Or we say, the only thing certain in life is death. It seems to be the case, right? Even the Bible says this in the Old Testament. Psalm 89:48, for example, says, what man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Even Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, had to reckon with that reality. He felt the inevitable force of death. He knew what it was to be locked in by death. But Jesus found a way to break the power of death. He unlocked the gate. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. The body wasn't there anymore. Jesus wasn't there anymore. It was a jailbreak of the highest order. Jesus has the keys of the grave. Now, getting out of prison is no easy thing. If you ever go down to Granite, you know that there's that little miniature jail there. If you get put in that and there's a lock on there, that's going to be hard enough to get out. But when it comes to death, nobody was getting out until Jesus found a way, until Jesus beat death. Why? How is that possible? Because Jesus has the keys of the grave. He got out. And Jesus' followers were incredulous at first. They didn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. The angels told the women. And the women, they were bewildered because no one unlocks death after all. And these messengers told the other disciples. But the other disciples didn't believe them. Because being dead for a few days, then deciding to come back, isn't a thing. Going into death and then unlocking death to come out, that's not a thing. But Jesus has the keys of the grave. And people have been in denial about this for 2,000 years. It wasn't just the disciples for that fleeting moment. There are some people who insist on still denying that this was the case. And if you permit me just a little bit of an excursion here. There's a kind of weird respect for death that makes doubts linger. For example, some people said a couple hundred years ago, and still say today, that Jesus didn't actually die. I mean, maybe his body disappeared, maybe he was alive, but that's just because he didn't really die. And this is called the swoon hypothesis. The swoon hypothesis, like you kind of fall into a coma. And that was the idea. A prominent Bible critic by the name of Heinrich Paulus argued for this shortly after 1800. And he said that Jesus didn't actually die. He only went into a coma. A certain Dr. Nuri has said a similar thing in recent years. And they said that somehow Jesus died quickly, but he didn't really die. He went unconscious. People just missed this. They put him in the tomb. And then in the cool of the tomb, he somehow resuscitated. He revived. And then somehow escaped the tomb. But I want you just to think here how ridiculous this claim is. Here are some facts we know. One, Jesus was crucified in public with everyone witnessing his death. Two, a Roman guard speared him in the side after he died and blood and water gushed out. It's a sign of massive internal trauma. Three, everyone reported him as dead. Nobody said anything different. Four, Jesus was wrapped in linen bands. And he would not have been able to escape. Five, the tomb was shut by a great stone, says Matthew 27:60. It's huge. And secured by a special seal, says in Matthew 27:66. So this would have almost certainly required multiple healthy men to move the stone. And six, just to give one more objection, there were Roman guards posted at the tomb. And we know from Roman law that they would have been punished with death if the body had been removed. This is not a credible theory. A healthy Harry Houdini wouldn't have been able to get out of this, let alone some man who had fallen into a coma. It's ridiculous. So others say, well, maybe it's a hallucination. Maybe the disciples were so grief-stricken that they succumbed to some sort of notion that Jesus' spirit lived on. And sadly, some people have wagered that pitiful hypothesis. And to rebut that one, it's true that people hallucinate sometimes when they're in grief. However, how is it possible that all of Jesus' disciples had a mass hallucination in which they all saw the same thing? And more than just saw the same thing, they witnessed Jesus physically alive in the flesh. Even in our text here, Luke's gospel points out things that are not part of a hallucination. Jesus' body is gone from the tomb. And then he appears physically to his disciples in Emmaus, then to the 11. And when the disciples doubt, we read later on in chapter 24, Jesus invites them to touch him. What kind of hallucination invites people to touch him? And then Jesus asks for fish, and he's given fish, and he eats it right in front of them. In other words, none of the accounts of the resurrection describe Jesus' appearances as mere images. They're physical events, and everyone is witnessing these physical events at once. So enough of these absurd objections. Jesus broke out of death. And sitting around and trying to explain how death must have won, despite all the evidence, is perverse worship. I believe that people refuse to worship Jesus because they're so used to worshiping death. They're so unwilling to submit to the lordship of Jesus because they're so used to submitting to the lordship of death. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, can say we are free from that kind of worship. We are now free to worship the risen Lord. We are free to be in the truth because we know the one who is the strongest force on earth, not death, but Jesus, our Christ. So hear the news. He is alive. He beat death. Death has been defeated. Its gates are shattered. So do not honor death. Honor the one who defeated death. He is worthy of honor and fear. He is the King. He is the one he said he was, the Son of God, even the Alpha and the Omega. And this Jesus holds the key to the grave. So yes, Jesus had the key to get himself out of the grave. But number two, Jesus has the keys to unlock the grave for you. For you. The Bible teaches this. The reason why Jesus submitted to death and rose again wasn't because he needed to prove anything for himself. He was already God. He was already the Alpha and Omega. He descended into the darkness because that is where people were imprisoned. The Bible speaks of death so often as a prison. And when you look in the Old Testament, it was clear that there was no way out of this prison. Before Jesus, nobody really conceived of it as escapable. For example, Job 7:9 says, "As the cloud fades and vanishes, so he who goes down to Sheol," that is Hades, or the land of the dead, "does not come up." Or King Hezekiah laments, "I am consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years." That's Isaiah 38:10. And the ancients spoke about death this way. It was a prison with a lock that no one could break. The only real glimmer of hope in the Old Testament was the notion of a coming resurrection. If only God would raise the dead, then that would be the great reversal. That would be the great miracle, even greater than the miracle of the Exodus. Maybe it's possible for God to break people out of this prison. But people can't break themselves out. God has to do it. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of that reversal. He is the first one out of the tomb, and many more are to follow. That was his purpose. That was his purpose for dying on the cross and going into death, to save you, to rescue you from sin and death. I love what Hebrews 2:14 says. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood," we're flesh and blood, He himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Isn't that beautiful? That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus didn't go over death. He didn't go around death. No, he went through death. As a man, as a human being, he went through the very same death we experience. And by doing so, he managed to beat the devil. He managed to destroy the power of death. And truthfully, we don't entirely understand how this worked. The Bible gives us some images of this, some pictures, some ideas about what was going on here. I'm not sure we fully grasp that mystery. But in some way, by entering the grave through death, Jesus was able to defeat the devil and bring out the captives. Jesus knew that his people were there in Hades, in Sheol, in the underworld. And he wasn't going to let them stay that way. He wasn't going to let Abraham and Moses. He wasn't going to let Jeremiah and Zechariah. He wasn't going to let you and me stay in a place like that, captive. No. He died that he might abolish death. Let me share something with you. What you're looking at here is an icon, an image that's used quite a bit in the Eastern churches. And it says there at the top in Greek, the resurrection. It's kind of an amazing image, isn't it? This is one of my favorites from the East. That the Lord Christ is there triumphant, and he has opened up a way to life. And you see lots of people around him. What this signifies, people from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and Jesus is leading them both to life. He's pulling them up, quite literally. And there's so much going on here, I would encourage you to look at this later. But look down there at the bottom. Can you see there at the bottom? You might need to get close to your screen. If you look really carefully down below, you'll see some interesting things, including some keys. Everybody see those keys? And you can even see a lock or two. And they're open or broken, these locks. Jesus has the keys, and he's taking people out of the land of the dead. And I love that icon because it really depicts the truth of what Jesus did on Easter morning. He broke people out of the grave. The grave no longer had power over them. As Jesus was alive, and he was going to rescue them. And that's what an ancient thing from the East says too. This is called the Paschal Troparion. It's an ancient song or poem. It says, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Isn't that good news this morning? That Jesus went through death that he might break us out. That he went into death that he might break out all of the people he loved. In Grandview, I would remind you on this holy day that our friends are not lost, that we have seemingly lost them in this life. We might not see Joan or Diane or Leanne right now. We might not have access to Brad or Tracy or the many, many other beloved saints connected to Grandview. But these saints are not apart from Jesus. They are not held in the prison of death. They are not imprisoned. They are held by the hand of the one who holds the keys of the grave. And not only will Jesus keep them safe with him in heaven, but one day he will raise them, body and soul. They, and you too, if you trust Jesus, will rise from the dead. You will be glorified. Death will have no hold on you. Now, I have to admit, I have a mild jealousy of the people who are buried in Grandview Cemetery and all the people who own plots there. just a mild jealousy. My family and I, we actually had a picnic there the other day on that gorgeous day we had this last week. And it's just a beautiful cemetery and a gorgeous location. But I know this. It's a mild jealousy because I know that when Christ returns and he raises us from the dead and the full power of his resurrection is unveiled, I know the first thing that we're gonna think when we come back from the dead is, my Lord and my God. We're going to look up at Jesus and we're going to celebrate Jesus. And the second thing we'll probably think is, look at my body. It's perfectly healed. I'm immortal. We'll know this glory in our own bodies. That'll probably be our second thought, I think. And then I'm guessing our third thought, we'll look around and we'll see saints, even from all tongues and tribes and nations. And we'll see friends and we'll have new friends. And we'll go, oh, the body of Christ, redeemed and glorified. But I think to myself, yeah, but the fourth thing I would think is, ah, what a great view. I love this river valley. The truth is, Jesus has defeated death for us. And indeed, he's going to redeem the whole world. And the meek shall inherit the earth. But all of this is unlocked by Jesus. All of it is. Jesus did all these things for you. He has the keys to unlock the grave for you. One final point, and we'll be done. Jesus has the keys to free you from the fear of death. Even now. He's going to free you from death entirely someday. Already death has been broken. The power of death has been broken. He's going to break it entirely. But even now, Jesus has the key to free you from the fear of death. This also comes out of Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Again, I'll read that. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those, listen, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Boy, if we didn't know it, we certainly know it right now, that there are days that you can feel enslaved. These news headlines, these things we listen on the radio, the stuff we see on social media, fear wells up in us and it grasps us, and we feel like we've become slaves because in some sense we have. But Jesus is able to help you. He has the key to abolish your fear because he has abolished death itself. That's really the kind of anxiety that we experience. It all goes back to death. But Jesus is stronger than death. He has the key to death in Hades. Now, death is still death. I'm not trying to romanticize death at all here. Death in itself is unpleasant. The Bible even says that death is God's enemy. But it is no longer utterly foreign. It is no longer utterly terrifying. It is a labyrinth that has been mapped out. It is a prison with its door broken down. You no longer need to fear death because it cannot trap you. It no longer is something that is totally unknown and totally able to grasp you. Jesus holds the keys of the grave. Death is no longer utterly foreign. The mighty preacher Charles Spurgeon says it best. Listen to what he says. This is so good. Some saints have a fear of the world of spirits. Oh, they say, it must be a dreadful thing to enter that unknown land. We have stood and peered as best we could through the mist that gathers over the Black River and have wondered what it must be like to have left the body and to be flitting a naked soul through that land from which no traveler has ever returned. Ah, but perhaps you imagined that you were sailing into an enemy's country. Jesus is king in Hades, as well as Lord of Earth. It is not as though you crossed the channel from England into France and were among a people speaking another language and submitting to another sovereignty. It is only as passing the River Tweed from England to Scotland. He's English here, so cut him some slack here. It's like crossing from Iowa to Minnesota. He says, you only pass from one province of your Lord's empire into another. and indeed from a darker into a brighter territory of the same sovereign. In that spirit land, they speak the same tongue, the tongue of the New Jerusalem, which you have already begun to lisp. They honor the king whom you obey here. Be of good courage. Jesus is king of Hades. Do not fear. And Spurgeon is right. Jesus rules here in life, and he also rules the realm of the dead. And he has freed those people who are even in death right now so that they are not bound. So amen to everything that Spurgeon says here. But understand here that it's not just crossing over to the other side that will not be as foreign as you supposed. Because Jesus holds the key to death, he is able to raise you from the dead. Just like his body was glorified on Easter morning, someday too your body will be glorified. You will be reassembled somehow. You will be put back together. You will be made immortal. You will truly be physical, and you will truly be in glory. And in that body of yours, there will be no more weakness, no more sickness, no more death. And Grandview, in that resurrected church, there will be no more sin, no more separation. And in the new earth, even in this river valley, there will be no more coronavirus, no more war, no more threat. Jesus is victor, and his victory will be complete on that Easter day for all of us. You need not fear. He holds the keys of the grave for himself and for you, and even the key to take away your fear. Beloved church, this is a dark season. It's a cramped season. But we are not trapped. We will not stay here in the shadow of death. Things are going to get better. They will, because Jesus is risen, and he holds the keys of the grave. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us that Jesus is stronger than sin and stronger than death. He's stronger than all. And so we choose to live in that freedom right now, today, on this Easter day. In Christ's name, amen.